Good job, my brother. Appreciate that. Open your Bibles tonight, please, to the book of Psalms, Psalm 23. We've been in some time now. We've been looking at the inspiration of God's hymn book and how that these Psalms literally was the Jewish hymn book. And as you look at the Psalms, there's 150 of them, and as you look at the Psalms, they are absolutely full of a lot of different things. They're filled with a lot of emotion. They're filled with a lot of, they breathe with a lot of trials. Many of them are filled with trials. And yet throughout all of them, you find that the psalmist would point people to God. They would point them to the Savior that could do something about the situation. When you come to Psalm 23, and possibly Psalm 23 is the most well-known passage of Scripture in all the Bible. It's been read at many a funeral. Of course, David is the one who penned this psalm. There's some debate as to when he wrote it. Some think he wrote it during his years of exile, during his years where he was, you know, fleeing for his life from his wicked son Absalom. Some also, I kind of lean towards him now as an older gentleman as he's looking back on his life and he's writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, about how his God had taken care of him and how the Lord had provided for him. You recall that that early on in the life of David, he was a shepherd in Israel. He tended to his father's sheep. We know that because when he showed up at the battle where he will soon defeat Goliath, he'd left his father's sheep. His brothers accused him, you know, and said, "Hey, you basically left dad's sheep to come up here and, you know, and all this." But he was a very tender-hearted individual. I think when you look through the Psalms, you get a picture of how David was tender-hearted. And now he's writing from his relationship of the Savior who watches over him and protects him. And as he writes this psalm, it's a fantastic psalm because he portrays for us the relationship that he has with the Savior in comparison to a shepherd and his sheep. Sheep are mentioned much in the Word of God. I think I was writing this. I think I've told you that some 1,140 times the Bible mentions shepherding or sheep or things along that nature. So God uses it to paint us a picture. He uses us to paint us a picture of how we need Him. You see, the shepherd was very crucial. The role of the shepherd was very critical to the welfare of a flock of sheep. I'm thankful tonight that we have a shepherd that's trustworthy. Amen. We have a shepherd that we can follow all the way to death. And I'm grateful for that. He's not only a shepherd that takes care of us here on this earth, he's a shepherd that watches over us, and he's a shepherd that literally will follow us all the way into eternity. And for that, we must be grateful. So in Psalm 23, as we read this portion of Scripture, would you be so kind to stand with me? And we're just showing honor and reverence and respect to the reading of the Word of God. If you're able, good crowd in the house of the Lord tonight, man. Tremendous crowd. My wife said, "Do you realize Jen and Joe are here tonight?" She's scheduled to go in to have her baby at 8 o'clock tonight. So I told Joe I'm preaching to 7:59. So the grandparents are ready to kill me. But they're excited tonight as Joe and Jen will be going into the hospital there to have their baby. And you pray for them. And if she yells out real loud, Brother Dana, you go running, okay? Dr. Dana, you keep an eye on her. Psalm 23, verse 1. Notice what David says. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord, Jehovah God, is literally who he's saying there, is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. But look what he says in verse 2 at the beginning of it. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Let's pray. Father, again, as we bow in your presence tonight, Father, just in these brief words of these first two verses, God, we learn a lot about you. And Father, we learn a lot about your watch care and your tenderness in dealing with your sheep. Sheep are an animal, God, that cannot be driven. They must be led. And Father, you lead us. You guide us. You protect us. You watch over us. Father, you're very long-suffering with your sheep, to which all of us that know you in a personal way, can say we're thankful for that. We're thankful, Lord, that you don't give up on us. Father, you're constantly leading us, and you're constantly forgiving us, and you're constantly, Lord, speaking encouragement into our fearful hearts. So, Father, we thank you tonight. And, Lord, we ask that you will help us as we preach your word to just see a portrait of who you are and how magnificent you are. And, Father, we bring an offering. We offer ourselves, like you said in the book of Romans chapter 12, a living sacrifice. May we present ourselves, God, a living sacrifice for you to use as you see fit. For it's in Christ's name I pray, and amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Aren't you thankful that we have a long-suffering God? We have a God that's patient with us. We have a God that's very in dealing with us and taking care of us as his children. We have a God that's very tender to us. We have a God that very long-suffering. We have a God that's a God of love. I know sometimes our world wants to constantly twist and distort God's word, but those of us that know Christ as our Savior, by that meaning, there's been a point in your life where you've repented of your sin, and by faith you placed your faith and your trust in God. You asked God to forgive you, that's repentance, cleanse you of your sin, and you trusted Christ by faith, believing the gospel, the death, the burial, resurrection of Christ, that what Jesus did on the cross, he did for you, and God has saved you. And for those that know Jesus as Savior, if you've been saved for any length of time, you know how wonderful he is. He's a wonderful God. You know, one of the things that separates Christianity, and there is no comparison, but just for reference point, one of the things that separates true biblical Christianity apart from all other religions is the fact that Christianity believes we hold to a personal Savior, meaning that he's my Savior. He's your Savior. If you've been born again, he's your Savior. He's my Savior. And because of that, what an amazing God that he is. He's a God that takes care of his children. He's a God that provides our every need. Hold your place here in Psalm 23, and I want you to turn to the book of Matthew chapter 6 for a moment. Tonight I'm preaching on the peace of the green pastures. The peace of the green pastures. As you can imagine in your mind, a shepherd leading a flock of sheep around Palestine. Of course, that's where David course is writing this, and from perspective of his relationship with his Savior. And as he writes this in relationship to his Savior, he is sharing for us the fact that, as Brother Stephen sang tonight, introduced us to that song, gave us the background on the song, he leadeth me. The Lord Jesus leads us. But as you can imagine in your mind, this shepherd, as he would lead that flock of sheep through the different regions of Palestine, and he was leading them to green pastures. Green pastures around that region of the world, they weren't a normal thing. All around that part of the world was barren, dry, barren, desert-like condition. But he would often find and lead his sheep to green pastures. And in those green pastures, the Bible says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. If you recall, as we've been doing a lot of reference with Psalm 23, with a book I've probably read this book three times, but a book by the name of man who wrote it was Philip Keller. He was a shepherd, and he used Psalm 23 to then just kind of speak into it from perspective of a shepherd in the context of where he says he maketh us to lie down in green pastures. He said that doesn't just happen. Sheep have to be free from four things in order for sheep to lie down. They have to be free from fear. Sheep are very timid animals. You recall, I shared a story. Philip Keller talked about how one time a friend or a relative of his had driven over to see him, and as they opened the door, they had a little bitty dog jump out and didn't do anything other than just jump out and land on the ground. And when the sheep saw that, they took off and ran across the mountain. Why? Because they're very timid animals. In order for them to lie down, they have to be free from fear. They have to be free from flies, parasites, that will absolutely drive them crazy. They have to be free from finding food, hunger. They won't lie down unless their bellies are full, unless they're content, they don't have any hunger. But then he also says they have to be free from friction. Other sheep can be very bullheaded, and they can constantly buck against and hit against other sheep and drive them away. When you see in Scripture, and this is very powerful, but when you see in Scripture where David says, "He maketh me to lie down, the shepherd, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures," that's a flock of sheep that's lying down, and there they are. They're lying down, very restful, very peaceful, kind of a picture. But in order to do that, they have to be free from those four things. The worry. Can you imagine a sheep also would not lie down unless it wasn't worrying about things? Sheep, very very timid animals, very can be scared. The everything can scare them. From a little dog. I mean, they had a lot of predators. They have them in Paul in David's day. They have them even today. They had a lot of predators, whether it be wolves and coyotes and things of that nature. There's all kinds of predators that they have. Dogs, you name it, they have a lot of that. But in the context of them lying down in green pastures, it wasn't saying that those things didn't exist. It was saying that they were lying down in green pastures because the shepherd, listen, this is such an awesome statement. The shepherd made it possible for them to lie down. And ladies and gentlemen, we may live in a culture, there's a lot of worries out there, is there not? There's a lot of things that we can worry about. There's a lot of things that can steal our joy. There's a lot of things that can absolutely overwhelm us. But every now and then, it's good when we know the shepherd that we can trust, and we're able just to lie down and rest. Right, lie down and rest as we watch him and we observe him. In Matthew chapter 6, again, this is part of the greatest sermon I think the Lord ever preached, chapters 5, 6, and 7 of Matthew. But in Matthew chapter 6, the Lord Jesus is dealing in the context of worry. I will not ask you to raise your hands tonight, but I would venture to say that there's several in this room that have a PhD in worrying about everything. People sometimes worry about worrying about worrying. I mean, they just worry about everything. Someone said we worry, literally 60 or actually 95% of the things we worry about never come to existence. They never happen. And literally, so when we see in this passage of Scripture, the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking much about how he takes care of his children. And starting in verse 25 of Matthew 6, Jesus says, "Therefore," of course, this flipped us back to what he's been saying in that chapters 5 and part of 6 now. He says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life." The phrase "take no thought" means don't worry. Don't worry. Take no thought for your life. And then he's going to illustrate what he means by that. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. "Take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air. They sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they?" The answer to that is yes. We are. The animals do not understand redemption. We that know Christ our Savior, we have a Savior who died on the cross for us and shed his blood for us. And Jesus is saying in this portion of Scripture, look at the birds. You want to see how God takes care of his creation? Look at the birds. They don't fret. They don't worry. They don't worry about things they can't control. He goes on in verse 27, "Which of you by taking thought, by worrying, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon," and you can imagine, the ears would have perked up when they would have heard the name Solomon, the wisest man ever to live on the face of the planet apart from Jesus Christ, very wise, very wealthy, very rich man, penned the book of Ecclesiastes, the Song of Solomon, very incredible man in Jewish history. And yet Jesus says, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed, verse 29, was not clothed like one of these. Look at verse 30. "Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith?" Therefore, he says it again, emphasis added. Take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. In verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So now turn back after we've read that portion of Scripture. Turn back to Psalms. I just want to give you a few thoughts tonight under the peace of the green pastures. Matthew solidified the fact that we have a God that knows exactly what we need. And I'll be honest, sometimes as a human being, in my little mind, sometimes as a human being, I fail to really grab a hold of that. Sometimes because of lack of faith, or sometimes because of the pressures the Apostle Paul mentioned out of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, sometimes the pressures of life and the perplexities of life and the difficulties, as we'll see in just a moment, of life, they can absolutely overwhelm us. But the good news is, as David wrote in the Psalms here, David says, my shepherd, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Not just any pasture land. Green pastures, and we'll talk about that in just a moment, exactly what he meant. The peace of the green pastures. Notice, first of all, the picture of a restful life. We see the picture of a restful life. Philip Keller wrote, he says, for sheep to lie down, everything must be right. No predators to frighten them. No bugs in the air to aggravate them. No empty stomachs. Everything has to be just so. When we look at the sheep lying in green pastures, we see sheep that are undisturbed by the things that would normally disturb them. The word lie in this passage means to couch. It speaks of the legs folded under the sheep. The picture is of the sheep lying there with their forelegs folded under them, nestled in the green grass of the pasture. Seemingly without a care in the world, these sheep are a picture of a worry-free life. We see these sheep in the context of this restful life, and under that we see two thoughts. Why are they restful? Why are they able to lie down? Well, because of two things. First of all, they're undisturbed by the difficulties of life. They're undisturbed by the difficulties of life. Please understand, though, that the picture of the sheep lying in green pastures is not one that suggests that all the things that could harm them or cause them to worry have been eliminated or removed. No, it's not at all that. The wild dogs, the bears are still out there somewhere. Those dangers still exist. The bugs, the flies that worry them have not been put on the endangered species list. These distressing little creatures still exist. However, in the scene, the sheep are not worried about these things. They are of no concern to them at the present. The green pastures in this portion of Scripture literally speaks of pastures of tender grass. It speaks of the young grasses, sweet grasses, the first shoots of vegetation. And the shepherd, as he would lead that flock, and he would lead them over the rough terrain and the rocky terrain, he would eventually come to a place where he could allow his sheep to lie down, a place of just beauty, a place of tenderness, a place of refreshment, where they could lie down in that tender grass. And David says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And oh, by the way, my shepherd, he causeth me, he makes me to lay down, to lie down in green pasture. The shepherd has led them to some shady spot where the tender shoots of grass spring up. The sheep, and they're content. The sheep are content now. They're worry-free. Yet around them is a parched and barren land. But are the sheep affected by the conditions around them? No, they're not. Why? Because the shepherd, their shepherd, has brought them to the green pastures there, and they are there, they lie undisturbed by the conditions around them. But second of all, notice not only that, they're undisturbed by the possibilities of life. They're undisturbed by the possibilities that life can bring. When you look at these sheep lying in the green pastures, there are many dangers they could face. There are all kinds of situations that they find themselves in the days to come. The possibilities are numerous, but do you see them worried about what could happen tomorrow or next week? No. They're undisturbed by the possibilities of life. And the thought that comes to my mind as I kind of visualize that and try to picture that in my mind, as you'll see as we go through this portion of Scripture, just these couple of thoughts. What was it? What is it that keeps them content? What is it that keeps them resting? It's the presence of the shepherd. That's what it is. Did you not see? Look at it again. The Bible says, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He's made it possible for me to do that. Because of His death, His burial, and His resurrection, because of what I as His sheep have in Him, I don't have to worry. Now, I'll be honest. Because of our nature, because of sinful nature, because of our humanity, because of our weakness of our humanity, that's sometimes difficult, is it not? Just being vulnerable. Sometimes the pressures of life, it seemingly, you can't help but worry. So what was it that kept these sheep able to lie down there? Oh, the bears and all the wolves were around them, yes. And then the barren land was around them, yes. But the wonderful news was, and I love this thought, the wonderful news was their shepherd, He had led them there. He had led them to those green pastures. He had found it and He led them to those pastures and He was there in the midst of their, He was there. Listen to this thought. You ready for this? They were in His company, ladies and gentlemen. Aren't you grateful that we're in His company tonight? Hallelujah, buddy. Aren't you grateful that where He leads us, we follow, and He'll never, listen, He will never abandon His children. That's why when people say, I just don't feel God in the midst of this trial. Well, please understand something. As God may just be trying to wean you off of your feelings, please understand biblically, He never has left you. You may not be able to feel Him, but if you look close enough, you'll find Him. You'll see Him. Why? And you may have to look. And as you look, you may all of a sudden hear Him whisper, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. It may seem dark and it may seem absolutely dreary, but understand, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And because He'll never leave me, He'll never forsake me. Every now and then it's good just to lie down. Just to lie down. He's got this. Amen. He's got this, Brother Tommy. He's got this, Brother Bill. He's not going to let us go. He's not going to lead us this far to allow us to be devoured by some foe. He's not going to do that. Because when you study the Scriptures, the very name of our Savior is at stake in the life of His children. How He protects them and how He provides for them and how He leads them and how He takes care of them. Did you not see the very beginning of this psalm? David said, the Lord, Jehovah God, the God that met Moses in the burning bush, the God that said to Moses, when Moses said, God, who do I tell him has sent me? You tell him, I am, has sent you. Not I used to be. You tell him, I am. Has sent you. David says, the I am is my shepherd. He begins it like that. And then he goes down through this. He goes down through it and he says, Jehovah God Himself, the God, get a hold of this, ladies and gentlemen, the God that spoke the world into existence. The God who the Bible says He made the stars also. Seemingly in a way of a footnote. We know it wasn't. But it just says He made the stars also. The God that keeps this world going. The God literally in Colossians who holds it all together. By Him all things consist. He's the Elmer's glue. I think Warren Wiersbe said, Jesus is the Elmer's glue of the universe. He's holding it all together. The very God that did all of that. Born again believer. He's your shepherd. Wow. And because He's my shepherd, we do not have to be disturbed by the difficulties of life. We do not have to be disturbed by the possibilities of life. Oh, sure, things can happen. They do all the time. But as we'll see going to the book of Job, believing in the fact that God is sovereign, and there's nothing that can come to me in my life, and there's nothing that can happen to me in my life that doesn't pass through the hands of my God first, there's comfort in knowing that. There's comfort in knowing that He's got all this. He's got it. He absolutely takes care and He watches over. We see that picture of a restful life. But then second of all, I'm grateful for this thought. We see the rescue from a restless life. We see the picture of a restful life, but we also have the rescue from a restless life. When you look at these sheep lying in the green pastures, it's obvious that they have been delivered from a life of worry. If Philip Keller is correct, and I know he was, saying they had to be free of four things, fear and flies, little parasites aggravate them. They had to be free of finding food, hunger, and they also had to be free from friction. All four of those things had to exist. If only three of them existed, they still wouldn't lie down. They'd be restless. They'd be agitated. They'd constantly be moving about. They could not lie down. They could not rest. Wouldn't be possible. Their bodies would not allow them to do that. But now as we see the picture and in our mind can try to see this shepherd as he's led his flock of sheep over the desert terrain and the rocks and the mountains and no doubt the valleys and the hills, and he's found them and he's got them to this beautiful celestial place, and they're lying down. They're lying down. Why? Because it let us know that he has rescued us. And of course we know this is more than just physical sheep, literal sheep. We're talking about the believer. David is, of course, a born-again believer, and he's telling us that what his shepherd has done for him, this is what he means to him. Ladies and gentlemen, if you know Christ as Savior, He's rescued you from a restless life. You don't have to go through life worrying about everything, worrying about things that possibly will never come about. Philip Keller writes, he says, "It's not generally known that sheep are so timid and easily panicked that even a stray jackrabbit suddenly bounding from behind a bush can stampede a whole flock. They're very restless. We're a lot like sheep, are we not? It doesn't take too much to cause us to worry. We tend to worry, to live a worry-filled life rather than a worry-free life. And worry can do a lot of damage to us, as not only as Christian people, but just as humans in general. That's why Jesus said, take no thought. Do not worry. Take no thought about what you're going to eat, what you're going to put on. Take no thought. Don't worry about that. And every time you want to worry, Jen, you okay? All right, hallelujah. They're headed out. We're praying for you. We love you guys. She's ruined my sermon. No, I'm just kidding. We'll land this plane in just a minute. But he's rescued us from that. He's rescued us from, you know, the thing about sheep. You remember we talked about how sheep, and Philip Keller even alludes to this. He says in the book there, he said, sheep are very, they're defenseless animals. About all they can do is run, and they don't even do that well. I know I'm a sheep, amen? Don't amen that. They're defenseless. They're also directionless. You know, you take a stray dog, it'll take off, man, it sometimes will come home 4 years later. I've given dogs the country road boot before, and thankfully they never found their way home. But a dog won't hunt. You either shoot it or you... Anyway, we'll leave that alone. Oh, no, I shouldn't have said that on the World Wide Web. Brother Andy Daugherty told me that. I've never done that, but... They're defenseless. They're directionless. They're often dumb animals. Not insulting you, but that's often, you know, as far as left to ourselves, spiritually speaking, we're hopeless without a shepherd in our lives. The picture of a restless life, that He rescued us, He delivered us from that restless life. But then notice the third thing, and I'm done here. Notice the peace of a trustful life. There's peace in trusting the shepherd. There is. There's peace in that. He takes care of us. He watches over us. He provides. Listen, and I know I've said this to you, but I hope you get a hold of this and really let this resonate in your heart and your mind. The shepherd knows you better than you know yourself. He does. If he knows how many hairs are on our head, that's a God of detail. That's a God that, listen, that's a God that's very actively involved in my life and your life. And ladies and gentlemen, a shepherd had to be. If a shepherd wasn't actively involved in the life of his flock, they would die. If a shepherd wasn't actively involved in taking care of his flock, they would be scattered abroad. That's why whenever Brother Tommy and I was talking about it, and he was telling me how he knew someone who was talking about shepherding. And he said often what a shepherd would do is after they would, you know, they would shear them. And, you know, and that's another thing for the preachers in this room tonight. You know, I've heard pastors over the years say, boy, I really skinned my flock. Don't ever do that. Don't ever use this pulpit to whip your flock. You don't skin sheep, you shear them. Amen. Something else by way of pastoring, I've had preachers, old-time preachers tell me this, love your people from a distance. And they meant well, they were trying to encourage me. Love your people from a distance. The only problem with that, it's not scriptural. Dr. Johnny Hunt says, if you are shepherding a flock of sheep, you should smell like sheep at the end of the day. Meaning you've been with them. You should smell like that. You don't skin them, you never do that. My granddaddy said, don't ever use the pulpit as a whipping post. If you have an issue or a problem with someone, you go to them, according to Matthew 18. Even as a pastor, you are to do that. In love and tenderness, you do that. It's not always the easiest thing in the world to do, but it's necessary. But this piece of a trustful life. Why were these sheep lying in green pastures? The tranquil conditions of the sheep were all the shepherd's doing. If they're defenseless, directionless, dumb animals, how is it possible but that they're lying down now? A few thoughts. All the sheep can do is trust their shepherd. The secret is putting our trust in our shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. On our journey from earth to glory, as we face the days that are ahead, we can trust in several things. First of all, we can trust in the shepherd's presence. Did you see that what David said in verse 2? He, underline it, highlight it, he maketh me to lie down. I didn't cause it myself. He maketh me to lie down. It's kind of like when your kids are growing up, you make them lie down, right? Go to bed. And if they keep getting up, you tie the door. No, we're forgetting when Ashley was just started the walk. And we lived in a little two-bedroom house on Chicago Road in Warren. And without my glasses, I'm legally blind without my glasses on, and I'm half blind with them on. So Ashley just started walking. All of a sudden, one morning, I'm laying on my side, and it's early morning. I'm looking, and all of a sudden, my eyes open. And even when your eyes close, you just feel like somebody was watching you. You ever have that happen? Somebody's looking at you. I opened my eyes, Virginia, and my little daughter, she's probably, I don't know, how old she was, probably 13, 14 years old. No, I'm just kidding. She's a little toddler. I open my eyes, and she's right there. You know, like, whoa, what in the world? And it's too early, so we pick her up, take her back in, lie her down. You know, and as a dad, you do that, and as a mom, you would do that with your kids, get them to lie down. Why do you do that? Why do we do that as parents? Why do we make our kids lie down? Why? Because it's necessary. You see, yeah, because they're going to be grouchy if they do not. So are God's people. God's people get grouchy when they don't lie down and rest as God's people. We do. We get busy. We worry. But sometimes the shepherd has to say, sometimes the most spiritual thing God can do for us in our lives is just say, lay down. Rest. Take some time, you know, to take the load off. Just lay down. And David said in the Psalm, the shepherd's presence, he makes me to lie down. The shepherd is always at the side of the sheep. We know that the Lord is always with us. He will always be there. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He is present. We rest and trust in the shepherd's presence. We trust, second of all, in the shepherd's plan. The shepherd's plan to bring us into green pastures is part of his plan for our life. He may take us down one path and then another, another, and another. But we can rest assured that he knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. And he knows where he's going. Wow. Boy, we're grateful for that, aren't we? I said in my prayer that sheep as an animal cannot be driven. You cannot drive sheep. You boys that are someday pastor, you can never drive them. You have to lead them. And in order for a shepherd to lead a flock of sheep, he's not only got to be with them, but he's got to be out in front of them so they can see where he's going. And David said, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's my shepherd. And I learn a trustful life because his presence is with me. I'm able to lie down. It doesn't mean that I've been alleviated from all the enemies around me. It doesn't mean that those enemies don't exist. It doesn't mean that those frictions and those, you know, those parasites and those aggravations alive, it doesn't mean that I've been alleviated from them. No, they're still out there. But as long as I'm where he is, and he is with me and he's in my presence, I'm okay. He knows what he's doing. He may take you down this path. He may take you up this hill. He may take you through this valley. But we're okay. Why? Because of his presence. I know I've said a lot, not to be repetitive, but just to drive home that massive, a major point of the Bible, of the Word of God. Jesus said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Sometimes circumstances seemingly make us think that he has left. When all along, he may just be using circumstances that he may have initiated, as we've been talking about on Sunday morning, to teach us that we can rely on him more. Cheryl sang tonight, if ever I loved you, Lord, I love you now. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, it's now. Why do you love him now, Christian? Well, he saved me when I was this age, or decades ago. But as my shepherd, preacher, he's been with me when I had to bury a child. As my shepherd, preacher, he's been with me when I had to bury a spouse. As my shepherd, pastor, he's been with me when I got the diagnosis that it was cancer. As my shepherd, preacher, he never left me. When Jesus said to the disciples in the book of John, when he said those words, I will never leave you or forsake you, when he said leave you, literally what he meant was, and you can search this out for yourself, you'll find this to be true. What he was saying in that passage was, I will never leave you as an orphan. An orphan of someone who's been abandoned maybe by dad, or dad is dead, or what have you. But as an orphan, I'll never leave you parentless. I've obligated myself to be your heavenly father. And you know what's awesome about that? There's so much there. But what's awesome about that is to know he will never, ever abandon his child. He never will. You see, I'm a preacher. I don't always please him. Neither do I. But you know, though, here's what you must understand. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ applied to your life, study it out in Colossians. The Father sees you. And I'll be honest, in my flesh, this is hard for me to understand this, but it's biblically accurate. When the Father sees me, He doesn't see me sinful. He sees me blameless. He sees me unreprovable. He sees me absolutely spotless. Wow. Before His eyes. Wow. To which I say, to God be the glory. Great things He hath done. Can you imagine the shepherd looking over the flock of sheep? They're lying there. They're restful. They're getting the rest that they need. Sometimes the spiritual thing to do is just to rest. Sometimes one of the most spiritual things you can do is take a vacation. I mean that. Now, I encourage you, when you vacation, when you have your vacation, don't vacate on God. Amen. And if you're gone on a Sunday, find a good Bible-believing Baptist church and go to it, attend it. You say, well, it's not our church. No, but it's still another, you know, God's family. You can still assemble with them and you can still be taught and encouraged. You need that. We all need that. The shepherd's presence, the shepherd's plan. And last of all, we see the shepherd's provision. The shepherd's provision. No shepherd would ever dream of letting his sheep starve. Our Lord will take care of us. Understanding all this, why do we worry? Why do we let things get to us? Why do we let things beat us up? He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. And He says, I'm not going to preach on this, but just to whet your appetite for it. He leadeth me beside the still waters. You know, sheep can be frightened by running water. Just look. You say, wow, sheep seem pretty. They get scared by the easiest thing. They get restless by the littlest thing. You're right, we do. We do. But remember, in His presence, as we stay in His presence, we have nothing to worry about. The peace of the green pastures. Wow, what a tremendous thought. What a joy. Here's the invitation. I don't know where you're at. Maybe you're here and you never trusted Christ as your Savior. I'd encourage you tonight to repent of your sin. Believe the gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ the Lord. Calling upon God to be your Savior, He'll save you, He'll change your life through repentance and faith in His death, burial, and resurrection. Maybe that's your desire. Maybe your desire tonight is to join our church family. We'd love to have you, as you saw this morning. We'd be honored for to have you as a member here at Emmanuel. Well, we can serve God together and we can grow and further God's kingdom together. That would be a great joy. Maybe tonight you just want to come to the altar and just pray and just thank God that He's an ever-present help in trouble. And just thank God that as our Savior, He's our shepherd that watches over us. He's our shepherd that causes us, He maketh us, to lie down in green pastures. Why does He do that? Because He knows it's what's best for us. We can't burn to the candle. We can't burn the candle at both ends. You'll eventually burn out if you do that. Sometimes God just has to speak into our craziness, speak into our whacked out times in our life, and just simply say, rest. I want you to learn of me. I want you to watch me more. You can rest. Maybe tonight you just want to come to the altar and just talk to the Lord a little bit. Will you do that? I hope you will. Stand with me, please, for invitation. Brother Stephen's going to come and lead us. Pianists and organists are coming as well. But whatever God has touched your heart about, I encourage you to do it. I encourage you to come forward. Whatever you need to do. Maybe it's been a while since you talked to Him. Why not start tonight?